Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So did you hear they want to expand the Academy Awards to nominate 10 movies for Best Picture instead of 5? That won't dilute the significance of the nominations, will it? In fact, it turns out to be such a good idea that Major League Baseball has decided to let 4 teams into the World Series instead of 2. The Nobel Committee will hand out 2 Nobel Peace Prizes instead of 1. And the New York State Senate is so inspired, it will now have 2 Senate majority leaders, 1 Republican, 1 Democrat. Oh, wait, they already have that. All right. Meanwhile, election fraud comes in many shapes and many technologies, high and low, as we are learning. Iran is wondering about its 40 million paper ballots. And New Jersey Congressman Rush Holt is in the news because he wants to guarantee paper ballots for U.S. government elections by next year. Spying on our phone calls and emails comes in varieties, too. The George W. Bush, I'm going to do it because it's good for you version. And the Barack Obama, oops, we didn't mean it, but yes, it's still going on version. Congressman Holt has some news about that, too. So let's talk government eavesdropping, voting fraud here and there, and more with Democratic Congressman Rush Holt of New Jersey. Congressman, welcome back to WNYC.
Brian, good to be with you. I always enjoy listening to you and particularly enjoy having the chance to talk with you.
Thanks a lot. Now, let's start with your revelations about government eavesdropping on Americans. You've been investigating this?
Well, I've been on the Intelligence Committee now some years, and it is a constant concern of some of us. And you might be referring to a comment in the in an article in the New York Times a week or so ago, where I had really nothing to do with the article except 2 quotes, which were correct. Some of what the NSA has been doing seems too egregious to be accidental. And the other comment was that the technicalities are such that it's hard for members of Congress to focus on them in a way that allows for oversight with understanding.
And so the listeners are very clear on what we're talking about. Is this the same NSA or National Security Agency eavesdropping, the so-called warrantless wiretapping that the Bush administration was doing so controversially?
The under current law, there's something called the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act amendments. It contains a phrase, something known as exigent circumstances. And you might ask, what are exigent circumstances? Well, it's whatever the executive branch decides they need to do to intercept communications of people who might wish harm or bring harm to the United States. It's not defined in the statute. It's unlimited in scope. It's kind of consistent with the approach of the previous administration that they'll decide who the bad guys are. They'll decide how to deal with them. Just trust us.
So is the Obama administration continuing the Bush administration policy, or was this a mistake? Because as I read in that same Times article, their reaction to these revelations was, oops, we didn't realize we were doing it. You don't buy that.
You know, I can't discuss the actual so-called revelations because under House rules, I can't talk about even indirectly things that I've learned in classified sessions. So there was, you know, suffice it to say that in the article there were some inaccuracies, some things that the public should know more about. I hope we can find a way to do that.
Let me see what you can say about that, because I have that article here. Or here's the editorial that ran the next day, June 18th, in the Times. And it says, congressional investigations suggest that the National Security Agency continues to routinely collect Americans' telephone calls and email messages, perhaps by the millions. Correct or incorrect?
The NSA spends a lot of time collecting communications of all sorts under many circumstances, with the intention of gaining intelligence, particularly about people who would bring harm to the United States. What has slipped in recent years and has not been restored is a devotion to the Fourth Amendment, which says you shouldn't search American persons in their person, in their possessions, in their writing, in their communications, without demonstrating to an independent court probable cause. This is not out of some fanatical devotion to an archaic piece of writing. It is a recognition that the geniuses who put together our Constitution understood that the power of intelligence and the power of law enforcement are important, mm-hmm. necessary parts of government, but also the most fearsome. And if those people don't have to demonstrate to an independent entity that they know what they're doing, they won't do as good a job.
And we can take phone calls for Congressman Rush Holt on this, or paper and paperless ballots, which we'll talk about in a minute, or whatever, at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. But just to finish this up, President Bush used to say, if Americans are calling al-Qaeda, I want to know about it. Do you disagree with that premise?
If there is if there are communications that are of significance to the safety of Americans, we should know about that. But those invasions of Americans' livelihood, I mean, we're not just talking about some vague concept of privacy. I mean, people's lives have been ruined because of excessive suspicion. And the problem is, it's not that some people are suspicious, it's that the checks and balances on those suspicions have been removed. The persons who search and seize should not be the same ones who decide who are the bad guys. That's what has been eroded in recent years and continues to this day.
All right. You're also in the news for your proposal to combat election fraud in this country by requiring paper ballots in all presidential and congressional elections beginning next year. Would that be paper ballots only, or paper ballots as backups to machines?
The vote should be on a paper ballot. That's the only reasonable way that a voter can have confidence that her vote or his vote is recorded the way they intended. Anything else through any opaque system, particularly an electronic system, means that the voter can't verify that the vote is recorded properly. And because it's a secret ballot, nobody else can verify it. I mean, some people say to me, well, I bank electronically. Why can't I vote electronically? Well, at the end of the month, you and the bank compare records. Nobody can do that with voting. It is secret. Only you, the voter, can verify that your vote's recorded properly. And the only way that a voter can reasonably be expected to make that verification is if it is a vote on a legible paper ballot.
Why are
And in fact, more and more states around the country are going to that independently, even though we have not yet succeeded in passing federal standards. But there's still 19 states in whole or in part have unverifiable elections.
Including New Jersey?
Including New York, including New Jersey. New Jersey started some years back getting out ahead of the game and then fell back. And that's a particular disappointment to me for my home state not to be leading in this effort. But a number of states have converted to optically scanned paper ballots. These can be supplemented with provisions for people with disabilities who need help marking the paper ballot. That could be done electronically, but the vote would be a countable paper ballot. That's what would be counted. My legislation, by the way, would also mandate random spot check audits in every federal election, whether it's under any circumstances. And that's with that, we could have a large measure of assurance that things are working as they should.
Why are paper ballots so tamper-proof? In Iran, they just cast 40 million paper ballots and nobody believes the results.
Well, they have not had an audit. This obviously doesn't take the place of good election procedures with bipartisan poll watchers, with court oversight, with transparency and independent inspection of how the votes are recorded, with provisions on campaign practices and campaign funding and all of those other things that are necessary for a good election system. This is just an obvious part of the system that needs attention.
Let's take a phone call on this. Michael J. in New Jersey. You're on WNYC. Hello.
Good morning. Thank you. And thank you to the congressman. I want to raise a couple of points. The New York Times editorial about this bill also made it sound like it has the approval of many election protection activists. And I'd like to note that Progressive Democrats of America, of which I'm a member and previously a national team member, took a poll of its activists who opposed this bill by, I believe, 3-2. In addition, election protection heroes such as Bev Harris, who helped blow the lid off the illegal role of Diebold Systems, oppose this, as does Brad Blog and Brad Friedman. There are a couple reasons for this, and I want to make sure that, I'd like to hear the congressman address this. My main complaint is that here we institutionalize electronic voting, and above all, we institutionalize not just electronic voting, but the role of outsourced private companies to create the software, build the systems, and essentially run the elections. I'm very concerned, as considering what happened in the last 8 years, at ceding control of what should be a government election to control of private, secret, proprietary software.
Well, the system that I'm talking about here, where you would have paper ballots, the paper ballots can be printed by any printer that the voting organization, that the voting officials want to contract with. But there it is in black and white, available, kept securely, we hope, under the procedures that are maintained under state law and county procedures, and available for recount. Some people have said, well, if you use counting machines to count those paper ballots, which many states do, well, maybe the software in those machines is wrong. Well, that's why my legislation calls for a mandatory audit, a hand-counted audit. Now, some people in some of the organizations you've talked about would like to have hand-counted paper ballots for every election. That's okay. If a county or a state wants to mandate that, that would work well. Most states want to have the convenience of optical scan or machine counting. And that is okay as long as you're auditing the process and you would uncover any errors in either the mechanics or the software of those counting machines.
All right. Michael J., thank you for your call. I want to pass along a news story that's just breaking right now from the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court has ruled, talk about illegal eavesdropping and invasion of privacy, Congressman. You probably heard about this invasion of privacy case. The 12-year-old girl in Arizona who was strip searched because they were looking for prescription Motrin or ibuprofen, I think, that she wasn't supposed to have with her. Well, the Supreme Court says that school strip search of that girl looking for drugs was illegal. And we will have more details on that.
Well, I mean, that just goes to show that the wars on drugs, terrorism, and the Cold War on communism can lead to all kinds of excesses if you don't build in protection. Suspicions can run away with you. And that doesn't mean that there aren't real terrorists. It doesn't mean that drug abuse isn't terribly destructive to individuals and families. It doesn't mean that the Soviet Union, you know, didn't have vicious human violations and at times threats to the United States. It just means that if you start launching a war where there's an enemy under every bed, you end up less safe, less secure, and a reduced quality of life and pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness.
And I guess that must be a Fourth Amendment case, too, saying that the school district didn't have the right to strip search her in pursuit of Advil. But we'll get those details, and we'll be talking to Emily Bazelon, who covers the Supreme Court for Slate, in a few minutes, as soon as she's had a chance to read enough of that decision. But one more post for you, Congressman Rush Holt from New Jersey, before you go. This comes from our website. A listener writes, and this is on the government eavesdropping investigation. She says, after having been subjected to headlines about Mark Sanford's adulterous emails, I'd almost rather the NSA had my email than, say, the media. I'm feeling violated just knowing that the New York Times and Talking Points memo published parts of the private adulterous correspondence of Mark Sanford. She says, I totally understand why it's relevant. The email was essentially written on the taxpayer's dime, and Sanford's hypocrisy is incredibly galling. But having been in the position of having to defend President Clinton to friends and coworkers during L'Affaire Lewinsky, and having been frankly assaulted with the details of that really dismal affair, I'd like to make a suggestion. No more details, please. What do you think?
Well, you know, I actually don't know who or what got Governor Sanford's emails, but I do think that the power of the government is fearsome, and there are few things more crushing to human dignity or the ability to live a productive life than fear of secret police. And obviously, we don't have secret police in the United States, but a lot of people have moved here over the years because they fear the knock on the door in the middle of the night, because here you are presumed innocent. And, of course, what you have here is when somebody with an Arabic name or something is immediately cast under suspicion as a profile for no particular reason— That is a kind of illegitimate discrimination that can be crushing.
And can you confirm this from the Times article? It says these sweeps seem unconnected to specific terrorism investigations. And if you're just joining us, we're talking about the Obama administration continuing the kind of warrantless wiretapping that the Bush administration was doing, as revealed by the New York Times, covering congressional investigations involving our guest, Congressman Rush Holt of New Jersey, who's on the Intelligence Committee. And the Times says these sweeps seem unconnected to specific terrorism investigations.
Well,
and the
are
communications,
you surprised to read that? I mean,
hang on.
Whether it's sweeps at airports or anyplace else, they're unconnected to specific, particularized suspicions.
So you're confirming that. And the communications are entirely domestic. Now, that would be news to me, because supposedly, even under the Bush program, it was limited to communications between Americans and people overseas.
You know, the NSA is supposed to have procedures for ignoring communications that were accidentally improperly obtained. And, you know, it's a long-standing, tradition and requirement in the agency.
Congressman Rush Holt, Democrat of New Jersey, member of the Intelligence Committee, among other things, thank you very, very much for joining us and talking about all these important topics.
Brian, always good to talk with you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, coming up in a minute, Reza Aslan on the role of God on both sides in the conflict in Iran. Stay with us.